Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
We should go
there. Yeah. I haven't seen like Nolan's house or his school or anything, but I love it up there.
Yeah,
it's nice. Yeah,
I drove through it on the highway and it was like pristine. Like we drove through at golden hour, so I was like, oh, this
oh,
is cool.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, the sunsets there are pretty nice. I would like to take the Z's up there for Z Day, mm-hmm. which we have in our like central park of Atascadero, basically.
Dude, I'll go up there.
And it'd be really cool to have everyone out. We could probably, you guys don't need to stay at my parents' house unless you want to, and we can have a sleepover, but probably do like an Airbnb or something.
For cool. sure, dude. That yeah. sounds like a lot of fun. Let's do it.
You know what else we should do? Part two Ooh. Of the John DeLorean story, Assault on Detroit.
DeLorean.
He is.
DeLorean.
DeLorean Iron Mandible. Activate. Ramming speed initiate.
Okay, welcome back to Past welcome Guest back. Podcast. I am James Pumphrey. Across from me is Nolan Sykes. Hello. And to my right, Nolan's left,
starboard
is starboard Joe Weber.
No, I'm just going by starboard now.
Whoa,
damn, dude, you're like on some Bowie stuff.
Joe comes into work next week with like face paint.
Like two different color eyes.
Yeah.
Hey, I just thought of a really good, sorry, this is sidetracking already. A really good episode for this, or a title for this episode is He's Just a Man, DeLorean.
Whoa, that is very good.
Yeah. Man, let me write some Star Wars jokes in there real quick.
Yeah, man, that's a really good reference to that show that came out 4 months ago.
It's still huge with SEO, dude.
Baby Yoda returns.
This week, we're very excited to present part two of the John DeLorean of the John DeLorean story.
Last week was super fun.
The John DeStory.
Whoa.
Assault on Detroit.
Past Gas Podcast. It's about cars. It's not about ports.
Hey guys, welcome to the Past Gas Podcast. If you like Past Gas, please help us grow by giving us a good rating and a nice review on the podcast platform of your choice. It'll really help us out, and I really appreciate that. So thank you. All right, now for the show.
When we last met up with John DeLorean, he had decided that instead of fixing the awful DMC-12 stainless steel sports car, big air quotes on sports car, by the way, that he would just build more cars instead. But why would John make such a bad business decision? Well, the DeLorean company was hemorrhaging money, and they knew from the very beginning that the funding they had been given by the Northern Irish government would only pay enough to get the first car out the door. And being the risk taker that he was, John decided to try and exploit a clause in their contract that promised him more aid if he increased the number of factory jobs.
Clever.
After all, jobs were viewed as the be-all, end-all in Northern Ireland at the time. What he didn't take into account was a shift in British politics.
Several months after the initial groundbreaking of the DeLorean Motor Company plant, Margaret Thatcher's Conservative Party came to power in Britain. A major characteristic of the English Conservative Party at the time was their disapproval of the government investment into private industry. Margaret Thatcher specifically viewed the government's investment in the DeLorean factory as a bad deal for the British government and immediately cut any further investment into the company. John DeLorean thought that more jobs equaled more money, but Thatcher didn't see it that way. DeLorean was running out of cash and heading straight for insolvency. His back was against the wall.
but you wouldn't have known it by looking at him.
Handsome.
Yeah. He had to somehow partially pay back the British government as well as prove financial viability, or else the government would seize all of his assets and dissolve the company. He began searching for outside funding. And never losing his signature level of chill, he would frequently walk the factory floor and promise all his workers that he had just secured more funding towards the factory, despite being over $175 million in debt. This strategy held until mid-October of 1982.
Because on October 19th, 1982, news broke that John DeLorean had been arrested after meeting with undercover FBI and DEA agents. He was charged by the U.S. government with trafficking cocaine.
What?
Yeah.
The guy with the chin implant and the good hair and always partying in California?
Unbelievable.
That guy?
Yeah. The U.S. government stacked 8 drug charges against him. And of course, DeLorean pled not guilty. But it was going to be a tough fight.
Mm-hmm.
The feds had hours of video showing John planning investments in illegal cocaine trafficking. The video they nabbed him with showed John sitting in front of a briefcase filled with 59 pounds of cocaine, valued at $6.5 million, reaching in and grabbing some while claiming that this is better than gold.
Pretty damning.
Yeah.
That dude loved gold, too. He made some solid, not solid gold. DeLorean.
The gold-plated.
Gold-plated.
They sold that in Sky Mall, correct?
Yeah. No, it was
Macy's.
Oh, yeah. It was like a JCPenney or one of those like Christmas catalogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cross promotion with MasterCard.
That's so hard.
We covered that on Bumper to Bumper, didn't we?
We did. Check out that episode of Bumper to Bumper on the gold-plated DeLorean. The case against John DeLorean was extraordinarily strong, at least from the public's point of view. And really, it was the public's view on the case that mattered more than anything to the government.
The DeLorean case was about as complicated as you'd expect. As far as the public was aware, this was a case of a desperate man doing a desperate thing to try and keep his company alive. But this case has so many layers to it, so we'll start from the beginning of the case built against John DeLorean.
In the early 1980s, President Reagan announced a major expansion to one of Nixon's policies, the war on drugs. Whatever policies Nixon had in place, Reagan cranked up to 11, and government organizations were excited to demonstrate the true benefits of such intense policies. At this point in time, confidential informants were actually able to make a living yearly income purely by being an informant. That's a professional snitch. And
that's
on top
crazy.
Of it all, cooperating could also help reduce prison sentences.
What would your snitch name be?
I wouldn't be a snitch. I'd never f***ing snitch. Moot point.
Jimmy.
Moot point. Move on.
Little Jimmy Pump.
Moot point. Move on. I'd never snitch. Confidential informant Jim Hoffman was no exception to trying to get the most out of his position. Jim Hoffman was picked up for drug charges a few years earlier and conveniently was also John DeLorean's neighbor in California. He reported to his FBI handlers that he had spoken with DeLorean, who had approached Jim suggesting a deal. And on September 4th, 1982, a meeting between the two at the LaFont Plaza was recorded by the FBI.
John was promised that a $2 million investment would net around $15 million straight back to him. But at the time, DeLorean didn't even have $1 million to invest in this cocaine stuff. But there was the possibility that he could put up some collateral. The FBI wanted to catch John, so they staged a meeting with an undercover operative playing a banker who could secure a loan for him. The FBI was going to great lengths to make a deal that was frankly impossible for DeLorean, but it was in the FBI's interest to make this bust.
Hi, I'm Agent Moneybags. Mr. Moneybags. Would you like some of my money?
For cocaine?
Specifically for cocaine.
The U.S. government was attempting to merge the cases of DeLorean and one Morgan Hetrick, a suspected cocaine importer. This would give the government the best chance of taking both of them down at the same time. That way, the government got their big bust in the name of the war on drugs, and Jim Hoffman, the snitch, would get some more money for providing, quote, valuable information. After hours and hours of recorded meetings, John actually hadn't given the FBI anything to work with, so they cranked up the pressure. Each party had something they wanted from the other.
The informant wanted his lifestyle, DeLorean wanted to save his company, and the feds wanted a major bust.
Wanted a major bust.
Can you imagine living as an informant, and you know that you're like destroying people's lives and setting them up and shit.
Yeah.
Just so you can live in like the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, you're just like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
We'll get back to more Past Gas, but right now, a word from our sponsors.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The feds wanted John to put up the payment, but all he could offer them was worthless stock in his failing company. But that was enough for the FBI to close the deal.
That's such a weird, like, buying cocaine with stocks is about as sad as you can get.
It's a horrible case because they're not, like, they're just going to move forward with this now and really just try to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
But as we'll see.
Nah, don't start that again.
Okay. Joe does not like that.
Joe hates foreshadowing. I don't get it. It's literary.
It's
you're
not
a
foreshadowing
it's
just because you're talking out of the side of your mouth.
All right. Yeah, that's
I think you might like it.
That's the only time I'll do that, Joe. I promise. In the middle of the meeting with an alleged drug dealer, an undercover FBI agent placed a briefcase containing 59 pounds of cocaine on the table. John agreed to put up the, quote, payment for the product. And that sealed the deal. Moments later, John DeLorean was arrested and placed into custody under 8 charges of drug trafficking cocaine in the U.S. The evidence was overwhelming against John. Kinda. He was sitting in front of a suitcase of cocaine. I mean, it's obvious, right?
During the trial, it was brought to the court's attention that Jim Hoffman, the informant,
snitch,
had actually been the one who contacted John in the first place. He heard that DeLorean needed money and saw an opportunity to help get his sentence reduced for his own cocaine trafficking.
What? Okay.
I know, dude. This guy sucks. This raised one major question. How far can the government go to lure a desperate man? In the days before the trial's conclusion, John said simply that it's in the hands of the Lord now. On August 16th, 1984, DeLorean was found not guilty on all charges. It was determined that the FBI and DEA had unfairly targeted and entrapped DeLorean by targeting a desperate man who would do anything to secure funding. They had forced him to make decisions he never would have unless they had been pushed upon him. Despite the acquittal, it was too late. DeLorean's reputation was permanently damaged, and his company went into bankruptcy within a month of his initial arrest.
I think you probably had a pretty good lawyer, huh?
Sounds like it.
That's such a great ending though to that whole thing. Not a great ending, sorry.
No, I mean it's
a great result,
vindication for John. Yeah
And it's just like so funny that the FBI probably spent millions of dollars on this and then it just didn't work.
Well, they're forcing. You can't force.
Yeah,
but just such a weird thing. And you wonder if like the GM like dudes had anything to do with it. Let's shut him down.
Shut him down. He's over there in Northern Ireland.
I'm sure they are pissed off at him. And the big three, it's not the first time the big three's tried to crush a small car company. So I think government and the big three are pretty close. I think that GM orchestrated the John DeLorean framing.
Do you have any evidence of this?
It's all conjecture at this point. Theory, conjecture.
Well, let's move on. While he was now free, the arrest and the trial had cost him everything. John's wife, actress and model Christina Ferrar, filed for divorce only 3 days after the trial ended.
But luckily, he found another actress/model.
His reputation was in the can. When he was asked about his future after the trial, he responded, quote, "Would you buy a used car from me?"
Damn.
But things weren't over for DeLorean. Shortly after the trial, it was revealed that DeLorean had struck a deal with Colin Chapman and that mysterious GPD Services organization years earlier. DeLorean's former partner, Bill Collins, had noticed some financial indiscrepancies in the contracts, which led to him quitting. You know, he was like, this is fishy. I'm just going to get out of here. But y'all doing something weird with the money.
Yeah, Bill doesn't want any blood on his hands.
Bill's like the only smart person in the story.
Yeah, and he got out, which is nice.
For each... Whoa.
Was that a hiccup?
I don't know. Second puberty hitting me. For each dollar DeLorean paid Lotus, another dollar would go into this unknown entity, GPD Services, based in Geneva.
$17.65 million had been funneled from the DMC partnership into GPD Services, and it disappeared.
Hmm.
DeLorean's explanation was that GPD acted as a corporate middleman, but really, it was a shell company.
Uh-oh.
As it turns out, John had made a very lucrative deal with Chapman. After securing money from investors, John sent $17.65 million to GPD, after which Chapman would take and funnel the money through other European businesses and banks. Once that was completed, the money was split between the two of them, and a portion was deposited back into John's personal bank account.
Hmm.
This was, of course, fraud.
Aww.
And it allowed John DeLorean to convert his investors' money into his own.
Well, who's being the snitch now?
Yeah, dude. Why is the only problem this guy has is that he surrounds himself with snitches.
And so, on September 21st, 1985, DeLorean was indicted on charges of tax evasion and defrauding his investors. And now, he had to not only account for where that $17.65 million went, but also explain why $9.1 million of it magically appeared back in his personal bank account. To prove that the money was legitimate, John provided multiple loan letters stating that the money received was a loan with a distant expiration date. On top of that, all those loan letters were between DeLorean and Chapman with no other witnesses. Fortunately for DeLorean, though, Colin Chapman had died from a heart attack a few years earlier, so there was no one who could prove him wrong.
And that's kind of a conspiracy too, right? That he didn't actually die?
Oh, yeah. He was shipwrecked or something, right? No, that was another guy.
Well, there's like so much the cloudy... death. Yeah.
We should do an episode on Colin Chapman. All right. So there was no one who could prove DeLorean wrong except for his wife.
Ooh, no, she wouldn't. No way. Ferrara.
Testimonies from his now ex-wife, actress and model, Christina Ferrara, revealed that she witnessed him between acting and modeling jobs. Typing documents and forging signatures while wearing gloves to avoid leaving oils or prints. She then claimed that he artificially aged the documents by shining them with a sun lamp.
Very
thorough. And then she got back to her modeling and acting.
Yeah. John, what are you doing in the large closet? Why are you wearing gloves, John?
You've never worn gloves in the large closet, John. What's up?
What? Your hands aren't oily right now. They're usually so oily.
Another investigation tried to find out what happened to this $17.65 million. It was immediately discovered that GPD was no more than just a P.O. box in a residential neighborhood in Geneva. Jay Alex, the forensic accountant in charge of the case, said that on that first day of the trial, John walked in and told him, quote, "I was talking about you on the radio, but I think I got your name wrong. Is there one H in head or two?"
Yeah, that guy rules. Just bell bottoms, cool hair, big chin.
Calls you a shithead.
Calls you a shithead.
So,
like a funny way, this dude's like on trial and he's like in the car.
That's
the way.
That cool demeanor, you know?
Yeah.
If someone said that to me, I'd be like, it's not sit head. What are you talking about?
Oh, shit. Somehow, DeLorean had got away with it again. But in the end, it didn't even matter how many times he won. His career and his life were destroyed at this point. No one would ever hire John DeLorean again. Just like Icarus, who flew too close to the sun, DeLorean's meteoric rise ended with him catastrophically plummeting back to Earth.
We'll be right back with more of this story, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
I think getting away with it again is a little misleading because one of them, for sure, he did. The other one was kind of entrapment. Mm-hmm. Well, 100% entrapment.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was worded wrong. He didn't get away with anything the first time.
No.
Yeah.
He kind of messed up. He didn't mess up as bad as the FBI said he did, but he was still at the meeting.
That's true.
Yeah.
He was still he still picked up a bunch of cocaine and was like, this is worth more than gold. They have that on tape.
Yeah. It's pretty unsanitary. I can see why that's a big
thing. The circumstances around it were really shady and he didn't get popped for it, but he was
in eight meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. He took 8 meetings trying to trade stock in his company for cocaine.
Yeah.
So
okay. I rescind my...
Yeah, when you put it like that, how did they not...
Right, yeah. Great lawyer. In 1985, 2 years after DMC officially went under, the greatest thing that could have ever happened to the DMC-12 happened. The DeLorean made its silver screen debut in the film Back to the Future. Woo! If it wasn't for that movie, the DMC-12 would be nothing more than a failed sports car from another failed, sometimes pompous, asshole. But in Back to the Future, the DMC car was a beautiful image of freedom and adventure. It showed to a wide audience of people who had never known or cared about the DeLorean trials a beautiful, futuristic, stainless steel car. It finally allowed the DeLorean to be immortalized as the hero car John always wanted it to be. On July 25th, 1985, DeLorean wrote a fan letter to Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale, the screenwriters of Back to the Future. In the letter, he wrote, "I was particularly pleased that the DeLorean motor car was all but immortalized in the film, and want to thank all those responsible. Thanks again for continuing my dream in such a positive fashion." Now DeLorean was certain his car would live on forever in the heart of every sci-fi loving kid for the rest of eternity.
I mean, he's right.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Dude.
There's still, you go to any DeLorean meet, there's 17 that look like that.
Yeah. It's like that car is on a million t-shirts and a million bedroom walls.
And it was almost a refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In Back to the Future, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want to encourage kids to get trapped in refrigerators because at the time in the 80s that was a big public scare, don't let your kids get trapped in an abandoned refrigerator.
Yeah, what were they
there was an episode of Punky Brewster about it.
Oh my god.
Whoa. Yeah.
On a very special episode of Punky Brewster.
I'm in a fridge. I thought it would be cold in here. It's not cold.
But if we're being real, hide and seek, that's the best,
it's the ultimate
spot to hide.
I mean, you do have to take all the shelves out.
Yeah.
And then people are like, why is the milk on the counter?
Why does it smell like rotting bodies?
When I was little, me and my cousin took all the shelves and food out of the refrigerator and put my other cousin in it. And his mom got so mad.
Yeah, I can imagine. 80s were a weird time, huh? Fridge scares, satanic cult scares.
Yeah.
90s had their fair share of cult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like Colts.
Yeah, you're in one, right?
Yep.
You're with you're going to Jared's?
Yeah, I'm in Jared Leto's cult. Yeah. It's cool.
Just wear robes all the time.
We just wear robes all the time and listen to Gone in 60 Seconds.
So do you think
that's what they do.
Gone in 60 Seconds to Mars.
Do you think he's the best Joker?
Yeah, absolutely.
What?
Yeah, what? Dude, name a better Joker than Jared Leto.
He's legend. Oh, Mark Hamill, actually.
Yeah, right.
Mark Hamill's way better. Mark Hamill's the best Joker.
Name a Joker that's more twisted.
than Jared.
That's true.
Yeah, there no other Joker even has any tattoos.
Yeah.
So
you got me there.
I mean, what is even? And his teeth are gross.
Yeah, they're, and like
when he's the Joker.
With their silver, like fronts that he wears?
I think so.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah.
I like when you
twist it.
My favorite part of that movie is like, I thought it was really cool when he put the knives on the floor and laid in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of the other Jokers even have like girlfriends. He has a girlfriend.
Yeah. And she's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang, you're right.
Jared Leto's the
coolest. Can I come to that meeting this weekend?
Dude, yeah, you can come. We'd love to have you. Gone in 60 Seconds to Mars is a great band.
Yeah. Actually, for real, I used to watch a lot of Fuse TV,
uh-huh.
and they played that video every day
for one summer.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
I see you as like just a little kid switching between Spike and Fuse.
Yeah, that was it. My life was watching Fuse Countdown and Ride with Funkmaster Flux. That's like my personality boiled down.
Well, speaking of personalities... For being such a loud and important personality, DeLorean's life after his trial was relatively quiet. He remarried and became a devout born-again Christian. 15 years later, in 2000, he filed for personal bankruptcy after over 40 legal battles regarding the DeLorean Motor Company. He was forced to sell his Bedminster, New Jersey estate. It was purchased by Donald Trump, who tore it down and made it a golf course.
John DeLorean's an innocent guy. He's my friend.
He's my friend. Very good guy.
Great guy. Cool car.
On March 19, 2005, John DeLorean died after suffering a fatal heart attack in his home. He spent a ton of his time in his final years focusing on a new vehicle he called the DMC-2.
On the nose.
His hopes for a second chance at the sports car market. In an effort to secure funding, he sold 100 pounds of methamphetamines. Just kidding. In an effort to secure funding, he did a bunch of weird stuff. The most notable of which was selling luxury watches on the internet under the name DMC Watches. Watches you can still buy today for $140. As it turns out, a lot of the items claimed from the DeLorean factory were never sold and just stored in multiple large warehouses. In fact, there was enough there in those factories that you could even build entire DeLoreans if you had the time and patience. Recently, the DeLorean Motor Company name was purchased by an individual in Texas with the intention of providing restoration parts. Plans are even in the works for the DeLorean Motor Company to start creating their own new DeLoreans for sale to the public.
Yeah, you can buy them, right?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Only about 9,000 DeLoreans were ever made before the company failed, but you'd never know that based on how well-known and respected the car is today. People love the DeLorean. Arguably, almost entirely, because of its exposure in Back to the Future. Not because it's a good car. Still, the DeLorean is an arguably beautiful car, and its styling and presence in pop culture guarantees it will forever be one of the most recognizable cars with one of the craziest backstories of all time.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, hear. John DeLorean. Troubled. Not really. I don't know about troubled, but...
No, he was very privileged. He got to do anything that he wanted. Mm-hmm. And it could have been a really sick car. I wish it would have been, you know, like a Lotus, more like a Lotus or
yeah. Mm-hmm. It just seems like, you know, until like the 70s, he was just such a powerhouse.
Yeah, he was like the dude.
He was the guy. I mean, still one of the greatest, I think,
like, automotive minds of
absolutely.
20th century, 100%. One of the most influential guys in all of cars.
Yeah, and I still really admire him despite the
100%. And
his reputation.
You know, GM guys didn't like his lifestyle and his pizzazz, but like I like that.
Turns out,
yeah.
Pizzazz makes you like someone.
Yeah, man, I like pizzazz.
Yeah.
I love like the who the f*** is that guy?
You know? I think a running theme with this show is like if you're a maverick and you make like $1 million decisions that affect a ton of people's lives, like that always backfires.
Yeah,
like it always. There's always something that trips you up. Like I don't know, but when you're a huge personality and you're like everything I've done up to this point has been gold, then you don't have that like foresight to be like, well, maybe this isn't a great idea. You just kind of go with your ego.
Yeah, you've gotten to where you are by not questioning yourself.
Yeah,
and then. You don't question yourself when you should have, maybe.
Yeah.
So is the lesson then to not question yourself. I don't think questioning yourself all the time is the correct thing to do. That's something that I've been kind of trying to focus on lately, is second guess myself less, because it always trips me up. But maybe just having a friend tell you, hey,
yeah, totally,
like, check you sometimes.
But you know what, man? At the end of the day, I honestly believe, f*** it, dude. Life's a ride.
Dude, you live life out loud.
Yeah, check us out. Every Monday, we're doing an episode of this show everywhere that podcasts are streamed. Check out our YouTube channel if you haven't, Donut Media. We also have a whole channel dedicated to podcasts, Donut Podcast.
Yep.
Follow Nolan on Instagram and Twitter at Nolan J. Sykes. Follow me on both of those at James Pumphrey. Follow Joe at Dark Webinar
on Instagram and Joe Weber on
Joe Web.
Twitter. Joe Web.
Sorry, there's too many Joe Webbers out there. There's no platform where I have just Joe Weber.
We'll put the Joe's info in the description. Follow Donut on everything at Donut Media. I love you.
Yeah, that was fun.